Hey, this is Bradley Weber. I'm the pastor of Release City Church, and this is our podcast. I'm super excited that you tuned in, and I really hope today's message encourages you, gives you a sense of hope, and inspires you to pursue all that God has created you to be. Now, let's jump right into today's message.
If you brought your Bibles, let's go together to the book of John, chapter 15. Book of John, chapter 15. How many got your? How many got a live Bible? You know the word says this is living and breathing. How many have a live Bible? Wave it at me. Wave it. Yeah. Got a live. Nothing wrong with a glowing Bible. Nothing wrong with all that stuff. But there is something about flipping the pages and being able to actually highlight and take notes. And I know that on apps you can highlight and do all that savvy stuff, but there is something about, I love when I walk into my office at the house and I see Dad's Bible and my grandfather's Bible, and when I open it up, it has a fragrance. My grandfather's Bible, you can't even actually, I'll bring it out one day, you can't actually even read what's on it because he the oil on our hands was all over these pages and our body oil, and it's the pages are practically brown from that. But there's something about getting into God's Word live and in person. Amen? Amen, amen. John chapter 15. This is a passage of scripture that I have taught from before. I've used it. We've referenced it a lot. But I believe that God has something that he wants, very unique, and something he wants to say to us today. So will you read with me? John chapter 15, verse 1 and 2 says this: I am the true vine. Everybody say true vine. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. Now, I think it's interesting, if I can just pause for a second, that Jesus made it a point to tell us that I am the true vine. That tells me, because sometimes you gotta look at the Bible kind of at an angle. And what that tells me is, if there's a true vine, chances are pretty good there's a fake vine. Basically, he's saying, pay attention to what you connect your life to. Hello, somebody. Let's keep reading. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. And because he is the gardener, he cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. Everybody say, ouch. While every branch that does bear fruit, he also prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. Two things that you should anticipate as a follower of Jesus, somebody who's trying to pursue God's purpose and plan for your life: you're either going to be cut on or cut out. I don't mean you're going to be cut out of the family, but there's going to be some things you're going to be cut on to rearrange some things, or he's going to take some things and cut them off from what's attached itself to you. I want to skip on down to verse 16. This is really where we're really going to dive in today. John chapter 15, 16 says this. This is Jesus. This is the words of Jesus. It says, "You do not choose me. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit." Not just any kind of fruit, but fruit that will last. "And so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you." Another side note is, if you've ever questioned what God desires from you and I, or for you and I, it would be this: fruitfulness. If you're taking notes, write that down. God wants me to be fruitful. And again, not just any kind of fruit. He wants us to bear lots of fruit, not just a little bit of fruit. Everybody say a whole lot. And he wants it to be fruit that will last. These days I've been very disappointed with produce in our grocery stores. It's like I pick it up and I put it on the little basket at the house on the counter, and it turns brown almost immediately. I know there's some crazy tricks. You tie stuff around bananas or put avocados in a bag and make it speed the process in a brown paper bag. But I just remember the good old days when you could just take stuff off the shelf, take it to your house, and it lasts for a little while. Come on, somebody. Anybody know what I'm talking about? A loaf of bread got more hair than I do in just a couple days. Where was I going with that? I have no idea. Fruit that will last. Fruit that will last. Everybody say fruit that will last. Somebody say make it last. Yeah. This got me thinking. Fruit that will last. If God wants us to have fruit that will last, there's a quote that some of you are going to recognize as soon as I start, that Dad would quote all the time. Matter of fact, it's getting ready to go up on the wall with our banners, because as you can see, we're starting to remove some areas so we can put some more seating in this room to maximize our seating capacity. But I'm going to put it up on that wall, and it simply says this: only one life will soon be passed, but only what's done for Christ will last. It's fruit. If you want to have lasting fruit, if you want to be able to leave here and take something off the shelf that you've been given and take it back to your house and let it last for a while, make sure you're doing all that you can for the cause of Christ. Amen. I'm wound up just a little bit today. I hope you got your seatbelts on. I've already taken mine off. I want to speak to you today from this subject, drafted by destiny. Drafted by destiny. Tell your neighbor, you've been drafted. You've been drafted. By a show of hands, how many football fans in the house? How many football fans? College football? Some of y'all are like, well, I will be next year because my Gators just ain't. FSU got a win last night. I saw that. I don't know much about it, but I'm not a big, I do watch some college football. I always watch the Ohio State Buckeyes, but I don't watch a lot of professional football for lots of different reasons, and I'll spare you, but I did a little research in preparation for today's message, and I'm a stat guy, so if you'll lend your ear to this for just a second, are you ready for some stats? Check this out. Are you ready for some stats? You're like, well, you're going to give them to us whether we say it or not. Okay, you're right. Congratulations. You know me so well. There are currently 32 active NFL teams. There are 53 active players per team. That means there are 1,696 active players in the NFL. Somebody's like, that doesn't seem like a lot. But it's a whole, it's actually a lot less than what you're thinking. Because, let me rephrase that. You're thinking that does seem like a lot. But it's not a lot when you think that there are literally, based on current statistics, there are 4.15 billion men on planet Earth. There's over 8.5 humans on planet Earth. But of men, they're roughly at 4.15 billion. That means in order to play in the NFL, it takes 4 out of every 10 million men to make the team. Wow. That's staggering, y'all. Somebody's like, what's that got to do with Jesus, NFL and Jesus? Everybody needs Jesus, amen? Sometimes some of them players need Jesus. But in order to actually play in the NFL, you have to be picked or a thing called drafted. And I came to tell you today, somebody today, regardless of how many times you've messed up, regardless of how many times you've made jacked up decisions, regardless of the fact that God already knows how many jacked up decisions you're going to make this week. Hello, somebody, like, not me. No matter how many times you've blown it, God still picked you. Matter of fact, my Bible tells me that while I was yet a sinner, Christ died. Somebody said, but I wasn't alive when Christ died. Well, clearly you were on his mind, and he already knew then what you would be doing on November 17th, that's tomorrow, and how many times you would mess up, how many times you'd let your tongue lash out and destroy somebody. And he still picked you anyway. He already knows. He's already been to your future, and he still picked you. Come on, somebody say, I have been picked. I mean, you're talking about 4 in every 10 million. The Bible says that he loved the world, everybody in it, so much that he sent his son to die for our jacked upness. As a matter of fact, to keep with the theme of today's message title, let me say it this way. Not only have you been drafted by God, but you've been drafted, by your destiny. Somebody say my destiny. Listen, your destiny is the God-designed purpose, path, and outcome of your life. That's your destiny. It was established by God before you were born. And based on Jeremiah 29:11, your destiny was established before you were even created. In other words, before we laid eyes on you, there was already plans for you. I know there's a big discussion. When does life start? Before you were even conceived in your mother's womb, Jesus said, God said, I knew you. I knew you. See, your destiny isn't reliant on fate. Thank you, Jesus. Your destiny isn't based on luck. Destiny is something that was, is something of divine intention. It's the reason God created you. It's called your destiny. It's called your future. And God, He drafted you because of your destiny. Your future is valuable. That's why the enemy works overtime to get us to throw our future away by actions that we make or decisions that we make, actions we make today. You don't want me to go there because that might be pulled right up at your kitchen table. Let's talk a little bit. Let's talk for a minute. It's true. It's why the enemy works so hard. Can I tell you the enemy actually believes in you more than you believe in yourself? He knows that you're destined. He knows you're destined for greatness. And he's trying to get you off track. Think of it this way. Destiny is heaven's blueprint for your life. Destiny is heaven's blueprint for your life. It's God's purpose already written. It's just waiting on you and I to be obedient so that it can be unfolded before you, before us. Everybody say obedience. Disobedience will block you from experiencing all that God has for you. Disobedience. Somebody say, I've been drafted. So not only have you been picked by God, you've been drafted by the King of Kings. And the Bible says that you and I, the Bible says that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. In other words, there is nobody else on the planet that can do what God has called you to do like you can do it. Let's look at it another way. You've been customized by God. Y'all ever bought a new car or a used car and it looks like everybody else's car? Huh? Men, what do? We go and we go online or we go to the shop and we buy something to make our truck look different than everybody else's. I already see some dudes going, yep, and wives are doing this right here. He's talking to you, babe. It's true. Why? Because we want to be different. We want to be seen as different. Let me tell you something. You don't have to do anything else. You are different just like you are. He made you like you are on purpose for a purpose. Hallelujah. It's called your destiny, and you've been drafted for it. And the enemy's trying to draft you off the path so that you won't get to experience and see your destiny. Amen. Customized by God. Jesus said in John 15:16, he said, you didn't choose me, I chose you. And then in John 15:1, we learn that God is seen as a gardener. And he does what any gardener does. He monitors the garden. Any green thumbs in here? Green thumbs? You can actually take a plant and it lives. how many's thumb is not so green? And okay, oh me. Listen, here's the thing you got to understand about God. When God sees potential, he makes the decision to pick and draft whatever is housing that potential. In other words, you are a potential carrier. You're potentially carrying something. You are carrying something. And when God sees that potential in you, he picks you and he drafts you into the kingdom. As I was praying this week and preparing for the message, I was reminded of a guy in the Bible whose life actually fits this message perfectly. It's a guy by the name of Joseph. And his story is found in the book of Genesis. We're not going to read the story, but for the next few moments, I am going to summarize some of the things that happened in his story. to go along with the message. Joseph is someone who God, as the gardener, looked at and said, I'm going to pick you. But let me say this. Being picked by God is seldomly comfortable. Anybody already read the story of Joseph? The coat of many colors. Y'all thought Gucci was a thing? He had the coat before Gucci ever existed. And his brothers were jealous. And they sold him into slavery. Being picked by God is seldom comfortable. If you're taking notes today, I want to give you three things, and then we're going to get out of here. I want to give you three things that God does when he drafts you for destiny. The first one, we've already talked about it, is this. He picks you. When he drafts you, you've been picked. So he picks you. That's point number one for today. He picks you. It's what I like to call the selection process. And I think it's cool how Joseph was not only selected by God, but he was also given the favor of God. How many enjoy having the favor of God on your life? Amen? That's just part of the destiny. And when you're obedient to that, when you're obedient to the destiny, when you're obedient to what God says you're supposed to do, you walk in his favor. When you're disobedient, favor is far from you. I mean, I asked for favor when we go on vacation. We're going to go to the airport, and to get on a plane. I'm like, God, I need you to clear traffic all the way, because you know we can't get anywhere on time. I need you to clear the traffic all the way. When we get there, I thank you for an up front, or at least relatively close parking spot before we ever pull out of our driveway. Father, I thank you that your angels are encamped around about our home of the four corners. Don't let thieves, harm, or violence, danger, anything come to my house. You speak the name of Jesus. I'm going back to worship. You speak the name of Jesus. Somebody say, you really do that? Grace, do I not do that? Before we ever leave to go anywhere that we're going to be out of town, Father, protect our home. You speak the name of Jesus. Talking about the favor of God. And when you talk about the favor of God, that is the stuff that makes the church shout. Y'all actually got a little excited. We like to read, but we don't like when the pastor gets up and talks about what it's going to cost you. What it's going to cost you to walk in the favor of God. See, the easy details is, man, I want to walk in God's favor. But you got to be obedient even when it hurts. I'll tell myself amen. Listen, but what Joseph actually had to go through isn't something that's attractive. Being obedient isn't sexy. Can I say it that way? Would that spark you up a little bit? Being obedient isn't sexy all the time. Because being obedient is going to cost me something. It's going to hurt my flesh. It's going to ask me to do stuff that's outside of my comfort zone. It's not going to be convenient for me. Well, I'll give you an example. If I was to give an altar call at the end and I said, y'all, I just hit the jackpot. How many want $1 million? Come to the altar. Boy, y'all would knock me down. But if I said, how many want to suffer to get it? I mean, really suffer. I'm not talking about you got a headache. I'm talking about almost to the point of death. Real quiet in here. We're all about the promise, but when it comes to the process, we want to skip the process. You can't skip the process. See, something I've learned about God is he doesn't pick you because you're ready for your destiny. He picks you so he can start the process of preparing you for your destiny. See, a lot of people say, well, I'm just waiting on, I know God wants to do something in my life, but I got to get some things together. Amen, you just get the yes out of the way. God will handle the other stuff you got to get together. He'll help walk you through it. Amen. He's not, listen, he didn't call me to Chiefland because I was ready. I still don't know if I'm ready, but we doing it. Yeah. Amen. Listen, if you're like me, when you read the story of Joseph, it doesn't seem fair. It makes you want to ask God, why would you allow Joseph's brothers to practically sell him out? And as I was rereading that story this week, I felt like God said, it's not that his brothers were selling him out. God said, I was picking him out. Here's the part I need you to lean into real good and hear me. Joseph's brothers were not allowed to do anything to him that God did not allow first. Did you hear me? Listen, I say it this way. The devil can't do anything to you without God's approval. If I had time, we'd talk about Job, who practically lost everything. His spouse said, curse God and die. Listen, then when we get to the end of the story of Joseph, when we get to the end, we see where Joseph's brothers actually try to take credit for the process. Now he's in the palace, and they're trying to take credit for the process. They try to take credit by apologizing. And his brothers are like, please don't kill us. We're so sorry for what we did. And Joseph's like, hold up. You don't get the credit for all of this. Basically, he said, what you meant for evil, what you meant to attempt to crush me and destroy me, God allowed it to happen. That'll make you think. Think about some of the stuff you're going through in your personal lives right now. Now, granted, there are some things that happen because of our choices. Amen. That's on you. He will help walk you through it. It just may take you a little longer to get there. But there are also other things, and he would teach you. I say it all the time. When I'm going through something, God, what are you trying to teach me? Because I'm tired of this test. And if you don't learn it the first time, what's the teacher do? Next Friday, puts it right back down. Scrambled up the questions, but it's still the test. Ask God, what are you trying to teach me here, God? Joseph's like, man, you don't get the credit. God allowed this to happen. Listen, this is good news for somebody who's going through something right now. And you feel like it's crushing you. Anybody in the room? Anybody in the room going through something that you feel like it's crushing you? Listen, maybe God has a plan, and regardless of what's happening to you right now, God is behind the scenes working it together for your good. That's good news, church. That's why the Bible says, in all things, rejoice. We rejoice when the fuel tank's full and the checking account is packed and stacked. We rejoice. We come in, it's a good day. I'm blessed and highly favored. But you let the gas tank run out. You let the checking account start to go down. Don't let the enemy rob you of your destiny because of your temporary circumstances. Get off your tail and do something about it. Huh? And make sure that the storm isn't caused by you and something that you created with your tongue. Because you do have the power of life and death in your tongue. A lot of the storms we go through is because we can't control this. Amen. Don't shout me down. It's all good. Amen. So we've established that most of the time God will pick us out before we're ready. Listen, God picked Joseph around the age of 17, but he didn't walk into his calling until he was almost 30. That's 13 years of patience, y'all. You think you've been waiting on God for a while. That's 13 years of practicing. That's 13 years of pruning. Leads me to my second point. After God picks you, he picks on you. Anybody ever felt like you had God picking on you? Your prayer sound more like this. Hey, God, whatever you're doing, I need you to stop. Anybody ever prayed that honest prayer? Whatever you're trying to do, God, let's get to the point because you're picking on me. Have you ever been to a place in your life where you felt like God was picking on you? You know how it feels when people are getting away with stuff that you can't get away with? I'm 50 years old. I can't go to the movie theater and see some off the color stuff going on without going, oh my God, I'm 50 years old, but I can't. I mean, I know what they're doing, but I can't be watching this. Huh? Some of y'all are like, hey, pass me the popcorn. This is good. Whatever dog you feed will be the dog that leads. You won't pay offering, but you'll take God's tithe money and you'll go be entertained by watching somebody else. You may not sin, but you'll take God's tithe money and go watch somebody else do it for you. These are sharp. These don't get used a lot. They mine. But see, God is called pruning. And he'll take stuff away that we think we gotta have. Relationships, status. I know you're like, that's not gonna have fruit on it. No, but around Easter it's gonna have the most beautiful cones. You know where this came from? This Kelly shit. We call this Kelly. This was from Bryn, this was from your daddy's homegoing service. Pastor B got a, I need to repot this thing. Somebody told me today. But see, God will, he'll start pruning. Ouch, that hurts, God. I don't like this. What are you doing, God? I need those people in my life, and oh, I gotta have that, and I need this, and but God, slow down. You're going too fast, and you're gonna hurt. You're gonna cut something that God knows exactly what he's doing. And he knows better than you the things that you've allowed into your life that shouldn't be there. Let him get to pruning. This is what I need to hear all the time when I wake up. I need to hear this all the time. Just. Some people won't come to church. They stopped coming to church because they felt like the pastor was pruning them. I don't know what you do in your house behind closed doors and on computer screens. I don't know. But I serve the one and work for the one who does. People are like, do you want to know when stuff's going on in the ministry? I don't. I don't want to know. I want so that when God reveals things, can't nobody say, oh, somebody must have told him. No, they didn't. I had a conversation with one of our staff members this week. Do you want to be up to speed? I don't want to be up to speed. If it needs, go to Adam. If it needs my attention, he'll come to me. If not, I would rather be completely clean up here. So that it's God out here. Amen. Say this with me. Say, God, prune me. Wow. I actually thought I'd lose half the crowd. Listen, you may feel like God's picking on you, but I'm going to be honest. The last thing you want God to stop doing is picking on you. Write this down. God only picks on those with potential. God only picks on those with potential. Listen, it's not that God's picking on you. He's picking what's on you out that shouldn't be. Listen, the proof that God has picked you and that he's picking on you is the pruning process that we must go through. Hear me. Pruning is not punishment. Amen, brother. Somebody, instead of looking at me, write that down. Pruning is not punishment. Because after hearing a message like this, old preacher said one time, he said, once you know the truth, you got to make a decision. And guess what you're going to have to do this week? You're going to start seeing things. You're going to start seeing people. You're going to start sitting down at tables with people that God is going to tell you, whisper in your ear and tell you they've got to go. You can't grow until they go. I don't know what I have to tell you. You're going to stay stuck in the same crap. Yeah. Pruning is not punishment. Pruning is a sign that promotion is on the way. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So when you start hearing the shears coming and you start hearing stuff and oh, gosh, that hurt. God, what was that? It's called promotion is on the way. And I'm going to stop because I want him to continue to grow. Y'all know I'd be getting foot stuck in boxes and dumping over plants. Whew. Listen, your calling is confirmation. Your calling is confirmed once you start getting cut. That's what I was trying to say. Your calling is confirmed once you start getting cut. When you get cut, that's a sign that promotion is right around the corner. If you're not being cut, you stuck. Remember what I said? Where'd they go? Where'd they go? Where'd them little shears go? Listen, if you're not hearing this, you're too far away. You're too far away. But when you're close, that's what you should be hearing. But the further away I am, the less I'm going to be able to be pruned by him. So stay close. Stay close. Amen? Write that down. Stay close. I got to stay close. Stay close to the gardener. Why? Because pruning always, always precedes promotion. Pruning always precedes promotion. Write this down. Your calling, I've already told you, your calling is confirmed by the cutting. God is a God who will prune the very things that we think we need. Why? Because oftentimes the things that we think we need are the very things that are blocking us from being fruitful. It is so quiet in here. Somebody turn the air down or something. Turn the air down. Kim, turn, make some noise in here. It's quiet in here. That and I'm sweating. The God is a God who will prune. God will prune the things that we think we need. The cutting? I don't remember. There's no telling. Oh, oftentimes the things that we think we need are the very things that are blocking us from being fruitful. That's why the devil is constantly putting it in front of you, because he knows if that gets pruned, you bear fruit. When you get free, you get fruit. I don't know how else to say it. Okay, I'm wound up. I'm supposed to be bringing this thing down. Let me give you just a few things that he'll come for. Let me give you a few things that God will come for. You ready for it? Here it is. When God drafts you, he'll start pruning at your need for comfort. When God drafts you, he'll start pruning at your need to be comfortable. I'll serve, Pastor, just as long as it's comfortable and convenient. Good luck. Stay out there on the porch. Listen, some of us are more addicted to what comes. Some of us are more addicted to what makes us comfortable than we actually are walking in our calling. Notice how God allowed the betrayal of Joseph's brothers. Notice how he allowed it. Because God wanted to get Joseph out of his comfort zone, out of his circle of friends, out from his family. You may have to step away from your family. To listen to the call of God and to go after your destiny. Amen. See, God used Joseph's own brothers to prune away at what Joseph thought he needed. His hometown, his family. I guess you could look at it this way. What's coming against you is actually a tool in God's hands. If I was to take this and go, it would hurt. But look at it this way. Whatever you're facing, whatever's coming against you, is actually a tool in God's hands. His brothers sold him into slavery, tried to make it look like he died. It was just a tool in God's hands, because God was pruning some things that Joseph couldn't take with him where he was going. It's almost like God was saying, I'm going to take your pretty coat so that I can cut at you and I can cut what's on you, your Gucci coat. I came to tell somebody today that in order for you to walk in your calling, in order for you to get that promotion, whatever it is, in order for you to walk in your destiny, God has to cut away at the stuff that's preventing you from bearing fruit. Pruning hurts. Pruning is not comfortable. It is not convenient. Second thing, God will come at you to prune away. Ready for it? Comfort, yes. The second one is control. Your need to be in control. This one hit me right between my eyes. Bam. God used Potiphar's wife as a tool. Y'all know the story. She had eyes for Joseph. Bible said he was a good-looking man. She wanted him to come to bed with her. And she tried to take his clothes off, and homeboy knew what it was cooking. And he said, I'm out of here, and left the coat right there, and then told her husband that he tried to rape her. She was a tool. She was a tool. God will take what's meant to destroy you, and he will turn it around for your good. Every time. How many times we tell God, stop with the pruning, God. We may, I know that looked funny, but it's not funny when we do it with God for real in life. People who select themselves in and out of church are people who are telling God, stop the pruning, God. I'll live my life the way I want to. Have you looked at your life recently? It's a mess. And without God, so we all go. Right? Your need for control. Listen, this one might be for somebody in the room right now. But maybe God is trying to prune you from your addiction of managing outcomes. Listen, you can't control what comes back on that x-ray. I'm talking about managing the outcomes. Here's the truth. Control is an illusion, but surrender will bring you power. Here's the problem. As long as you think you're in control, you will not trust him to be in control. So God will use certain tools. He'll use seasons. He'll use people and circumstances to cut at your need for control. Where's all my parents at? You can guide them, but you can't control them. You ever heard that saying, favor ain't fair? What do we always say when we get to the airport and I get that front row spot that I pray for? What do I say? Favor ain't fair. I do. Anybody else ever said that? When something happened, you're like, man, favor ain't fair. That check came in the mail, you never even expected it. Favor ain't fair. Can I tell you something else that's not fair? Faithfulness isn't always fair. Faithfulness isn't always fair. Have you ever been in your prayer time and been like, now, God, I've done everything you told me to do, and look what's happening. I've been faithful. I pay my tithe. My washing machine still blew up. I serve on the weekends. I serve in different areas of the church. I got home on Sunday afternoon. My family, World War III just went off. Maybe not your house. Maybe next week. Hear me. Sometimes faithfulness ain't fair. As I was studying, I felt like the Holy Spirit said this week, and I'm getting ready to wind this thing down, faithfulness doesn't necessarily guarantee what you want, but faithfulness will always guarantee what he wants. Yes. Faithfulness will not always guarantee you what you want, but it will always guarantee what God wants. So here's my question. Can you be faithful to give God what he desires out of the situation you're in, whatever it is you're facing? Can you be faithful, or do you have to get the outcome you want? I'm going to let that sit. Can you be faithful in the midst of what you're facing and what you're dealing with, even if the outcome doesn't come the way you want it? Over half of followers of Christ would, I think, if they were honest, would be no. No. Now, you may not say it, but actions speak louder than words. I know there are some people in here that are going through the fight of their life, because I've met in rooms, I've been in hospital rooms, I've been in courtrooms, I've been in jail cells, there are people that are in the fight of their life. Will we still be faithful to God, even if the outcome isn't what we want? But why that outcome? It's a tool. It's a tool. It's a tool to cut the things away that are not of God. It's always about positioning. The process of being drafted is about positioning us to where God wants us to be and let him cut away. Regardless if it hurts, regardless if it's not what we want. Well, I'm mad at God because he didn't answer my prayer. Maybe he did. Maybe it just didn't come the way that you wanted it to, because let's face it, most of our prayers are selfish. Lastly, another thing God will prune, connection. Connection. Hear me. Connection is not the problem. It's your dependence on whatever it is that creates the problem. It's your dependence. It's not the connection. It's your dependency on whatever it is, whatever relationship it is. Listen, there's some close relationships that Amy and I used to have that we don't have those relationships anymore. And I was mad about it. And it wasn't until just a couple years ago that I understood. You hear me say it all the time. Not everybody can go where God's calling you. Usually the road that God's calling you, it's a lonely road. It's a lonely road. You see me up here on Sundays like I got the joy of the Lord, but can I tell you, most Mondays through Friday, it's an uphill battle. Just like it is for you, I'm just being honest to teach you how to be honest. Because if the preacher can be honest, and shouldn't we always? If the preacher can be honest, maybe I should be honest. It got to a point where I didn't think I could obey the call of God if certain people didn't move to Florida with us. Can I just be honest? I thought, I'll go, but God, you gotta bring my crew. Because I need them. God gave me a new crew. God gave me a new family. I'm talking about you. So don't allow your connection to people and relationships prevent you from being fruitful. In closing, my last and final point. After God picks you out and after God picks on you. Thank you, Jesus. Finally, after he's done picking on me, the final thing God will do is he'll pick you up. He will pick you up. Psalm 75, 6 through 7 says this in the King James Version. For promotion cometh neither from the east, neither from the west, nor the south. But God is the judge. He putteth down one and setteth up another. I tell you what, when God picks you up and he sets you up, I don't know about you, I like to be set up by God. I had one vision of how I thought the service was going to go today in worship. And he had a whole nother one. And he set us all up. And he showed up in this house today, y'all. He showed up in this house today, y'all. I know Facebook, we posted that little dude talking about don't be late, come to church, don't come in at the third song. Listen, if you ain't here when the counter starts, you may miss. Because God is already working. He's working in the cafe. He's working in the parking lot. You get here at 9:45 for prayer, and you'll just get filled up right there. Get filled up then so you can give out later. I'm just telling you. He'll pick you up. It is God who brings promotion. Listen, write this down. Promotion is on the other side of pruning. Promotion is on the other side of pruning. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Will you trust God enough to allow him to cut at what you think you need? Let me say it again, because some of the, don't miss this moment. Do not miss this moment. Are you willing to trust God enough to allow him to cut at the thing you think you need? I don't know what that is for you. I'll tell you how you can find out what it is. It's the thing you're not willing to give up. It's the thing you're chasing after more than anything. My brother quoted it today. Seek first the kingdom and his righteousness. Then all these things. Things aren't the problem. It's our misplaced desire for them. When we desire them more than obedience, more than the pruning, and more than our destiny. And that leads to fruitless living. Can you trust God? Knowing that you've been picked, knowing that you've been selected, knowing that you've been drafted by destiny, can you trust the process, even if it's painful? Again, I said it. There are some of you in this room right now that are facing unbearable circumstances and situations that you just want to go bury your head in the sand and let the storm pass. Listen, the pain you're feeling is temporary. It's just a process by which God is teaching you patience. Listen, God has you right where you are on purpose for a purpose. Joseph was sold into slavery. His brothers were the ones that did it, but his brothers were nothing more than a tool because God had a plan. And whatever you're going through, it's just a tool. In an attempt to crush you and destroy you. But I'm here today to tell you, if you lean on God, he'll pick you up. He'll pick you up. You've been picked, you've been selected, and you have been drafted by destiny. I'm gonna get Adam to come and pray for us. If you're here today, and you know there's some areas that need to be pruned. If it's been a long time since you've heard anything that remotely sounds like this, and you're ready to pursue the destiny and accept the draft, would you stand? This may not be for everybody, and that's okay. But you recognize this. Some of you recognize this sound, and it hurts. Some of you recognize this sound, and it's made you want to give up. Adam, we come pray for our family. Listen, God's got you. Whatever you're facing is temporary. Do it, God. He starts cutting off. It looks like it's still got life, but God, why are you taking it away? Why are they not in my life anymore? It looked like it could actually do something. It's preventing you from bearing much more fruit. If you're not connected to the true vine, we're all connected to something. We're all connected to something. If it's not the true vine, it is the fake vine. There's only one. There's only two. There's only two vines, the vine of the spirit or the vine of the flesh. Whatever dog and whatever plant you feed will be the one that grows. These things still look like they got life in them. You come back in here tomorrow, I guarantee you, the pruning, it won't look like it. It may hurt for a minute, and they may not be in your life at the moment. and it looks like on Facebook they're living it up, and they're living it, living life without you. Are you willing to trust that God actually has your heart in His hands and your best interest at heart? Do you really believe it? If you do, you'll lean into Him and let Him lead and guide you. Amen. All the way to the pruning shears, in Jesus' name.
Well, thanks again for tuning in. To hear more messages like this one, make sure to subscribe and check out our podcast channel for past episodes. And if you like what you're hearing, consider rating it and even sharing it with your friends. For more content from Release City, or just to stay connected with us, be sure to check us out on all of our social media platforms at Release City Church, or through our website at releasecitychurch.org. We love you, and until next time, the best is yet to come.